Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
They're your
We were talking. We were just talking about sitcoms. Some of our favorite sitcoms. Carr, you got a favorite sitcom? Are you ever? You're not really a sit down. In that time when you would have watched sitcoms, huh? You're not really kind of a sit down and watch sitcoms kind of guy, are you?
Not typically. I mean, to the extent that it is a sitcom, I guess Futurama's not really a sitcom. That's my favorite show.
I was going to say, because do you see Mike's little logo?
Yeah. I know Mike likes
it. One of the best episodes of Futurama, as far as I know.
It's fantastic. I think my favorite sitcom is probably Seinfeld.
Oh, yes. There you go. See, now,
I was telling Bert, it's all about Married with Children with me. That was just, you know, I was coming up as a mid-90s guy. That was just, it's beautiful, and it still holds up today.
Hashtag mid-90s guy in the comment section.
Yeah,
that was a little bit too, I missed that by like a few years.
What do you remember? Do you ever watch The Nanny?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was on it was syndicated.
I'm
it was on
you, dude. Do you know about maybe I shouldn't blow up their spot. There's a thread that goes around on the internet, especially on the website, and a lot of our mutuals are in it, and they got this whole Nanny thing. They really love The Nanny. Did you know about this?
No, I don't. But I mean, I watch it a lot. Like, I don't dislike it at all.
They're all in that thread, and they all Nanny post all the time, and I feel accepted.
I guess I did watch it live, probably with my parents. I just looked up the years. It was 93 to 99. So yeah, that would have been right kind of in the wheelhouse of when I was just sitting around watching sitcoms like with my parents as opposed to watching them by myself.
Sit down, honey. This is what the New Yorkers are like.
Yeah, I never watched that show. And not even once, I don't think. I can't even believe that it's still people are like fans of it to this day. Like, that blows me away.
It fills a particular
that Married
niche.
With Children doesn't have the same type of following as The
like
Nanny.
Married with Children it could definitely have a huge fan base. Maybe it's a very quiet fan base. You know, I don't remember the last time somebody got up in my face and was like, "You gotta watch Married with Children." You know, I don't remember.
Well, at least on the internet, I imagine a lot of Married with Children fans aren't computer guys, you know? It's more of the...
Yeah, that's probably true.
God, man, I just looked up the years for Married with Children. It went till 97, so it's the
Can
same time
that?
For me. I just...
Well, it started late 80s. That was like one of Fox's first shows ever. It put Fox on the map. Like, it was nothing.
Oh, okay.
And they took a chance on this show because it was so kind of raunchy. And it was, you know, in the 80s was like, you know, you had Cosby and you had, you know, Family Matters and you had all these kind of more family friendly shows. Then Fox just came roaring on the scene with this, like, you remember all those ridiculous shows like When Animals Attack, and they just had all these like just gratuitous shows with like just violence and nudity for no reason. They were known for that.
What Married with Children is like?
I mean, it is very gratuitous, and there's a lot of, you know, cleavage and a lot of fat jokes and you know, and misogynistic jokes, just like that great man humor.
It was raunchy for that time. Like I was just like that. I'm right on the cusp of remembering that. Like that, I feel like the late 80s was when things started to turn where sitcoms became, or some sitcoms started to become raunchy and kind of paved the way for like things like Seinfeld. Like before that, when you go back to the early 80s and mid 80s, like, yeah, like you said, Mike, the Cosby Show, it was a lot of it was like really, really like attempted to be very wholesome. And Married with Children was kind of that bridge in a lot of ways too. I don't think that you would have had Seinfeld without Married with Children.
It blazed the trail. Cause this was the time when, you know, when they were having this whole family councils, and like I'm old enough to remember, you know, speaking of like nowadays, everyone's talking about free speech and how the left is terrible on it, which is 100% true. But what I'm old enough to remember growing up, like the right wing and the conservatives and the family councils were all you heard about was taking this show off the air, and this, we can't have our children exposed to this kind of humor and this, that. And I mean, like, that's all I remember.
Yeah.
Like, that was my growing up. That was,
I'm just a little bit like, I'm on the cusp, but I definitely remember it as a cultural thing. And like, yeah, that was like peak, like Nancy Reagan and Dare and all that shit. Bro, you're probably just a little bit, out of reach from that, but that was, yeah, it's interesting because in those days, it really was the right wing that was, far more interested in, I mean, I remember that was like back when they were trying to put, well, I mean, and then they did put labeling. I don't know what year they did, but when they were putting like mature labeling on music CDs and stuff like that didn't used to be the case. And freaking out about like violent music and all that. And that was absolutely just came out of like Nancy Reagan's, cohorts.
What a bunch of
cops. That was the 80s, man. And the Mirror of Children just like blew the lid off of it. It just completely blazed the trail. And I was just, that paved the way for my humor. Like I watched it, like I was like maybe 10, 11, 12 years old in some cases watching this. And I look back now, I'm like, I must not have gotten half the jokes. This is twice as funny now than I remember.
Right.
Because I didn't get half the stuff, but it was still funny, you know? And that I can't thank that enough for ushering in this new era of just great TV, if you ask me.
What up? Mm-hmm.
I think it deserves a lot more fandom than The Nanny, if you...
No. You're gonna get a lot of hate on Twitter for that one, my friend.
The Nanny, come on! I don't.
I love that show so much. What about oh man, I'm scrolling. So Carr, I'm scrolling through this list, right? This list of sitcoms. Yeah. Two of them come to mind that I need to get opinions on because this is all right. The first one, all right. Three, Carr. What do you ever see? Frasier?
Yeah. I mean, my parents watch it.
You a fan of Frasier?
I like it, but I won't go out of my way to watch it.
Okay, that's fair. That's cool. That's fair.
I was telling Bert earlier about Frasier. I watched Cheers also when I was younger, on and off, here and there. And for me, the absolute worst character on Cheers was Frasier.
Yeah,
like, he was not funny. He was just like everything about him I hated. Uh-huh. So when that spinoff happened, it was like almost out of principle, I wasn't going to watch the spinoff.
Right. Yeah, I watched a lot of Cheers growing up. My parents liked Cheers, so I watched a lot of that.
Oh, did you watch growing up. Cheers. Okay, that's cool. I like Cheers, man.
Oh, wow. Cheers only went to 93, so I guess I watched it mostly in syndication.
Yeah, I watched a lot of the reruns. I don't remember watching too much live, I don't think. Because, I was 10 when it went off, and I was born in 83.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm 88, so.
Okay, hold on. Now, all right, next one. And this is for both of you because I haven't asked either of you about them yet. Did either of you watch Friends? And do you like Friends?
No, and no.
Good.
Very recently, because Friends it was on Hulu now or something. My wife started watching it here and there, and so I had the unfortunate of catching a few episodes or a few scenes, and it's just, I mean, it's all right. There's a few funny things that happen occasionally, but this is not worth watching.
No. Yeah, I don't hate it.
It's not hateable. You're right. It's not hateable.
I don't give it enough. I don't give it enough like clout to be hateable. It's just kind of very. It's a little vanilla.
Yeah, it's very vanilla.
Oh man, you took the words out of my mouth. It's not edgy enough. It's just very. I don't know.
Now people were like, especially, and this may be more my like. Little, I mean, I say my generation, we're the same generation, but like, are my little mini side of the generation. But like, I mean, Friends was an obsession, like an obsession.
Still, I'm just gonna say it really still is. It really still
like
is.
Like, everybody watched Friends.
Yeah. Like, what years did it happen? Because I don't even like,
let me hear.
When was that? What was I doing? Because I just don't like, no one I knew was talking about it. No one I knew was watching it.
It's a very, another one of those very like East Coast shows.
I must have been 90, like in high
94 school or to 94 to 04.
Okay, yeah, those are like my high school, like late middle school, high school years, and then graduating and working. So, yeah, that was the years where I wasn't going to be watching Friends.
No. Right, and that was, so it started when it started when I was in, I guess, grade school, but then ended when I was in high school. So, I mean, it was pretty wheelhouse.
And now, the last one, I guess, yeah, this one I need an opinion on. Perhaps my least favorite sitcom ever, like it physically makes me sick. What do you guys think about Full House?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I watched it. I was like 3 years old. Come on, I don't know. I was a kid. Mike, I don't remember watching stuttering. It past, past stuttering. 6 years old.
he wants to defend it. Listen to him.
What? Who, me?
he was like, oh, you know, I watched it. It's, you know.
Well, I was a kid. Come on. You can't hold that against me when I was like 6 years old. I can't choose on TV. See, Bert, I grew up in an age where we didn't have the DVR. We didn't have the on-demand.
You turn the TV on
and you watch what was on, okay? And yeah, when I was 7 years old, I may have watched and enjoyed Full House. So big deal.
I never had DVR. Me. I never had DVR. I still had videotapes. I remember. I used to be big rewatching when I was 7, just kind of rewatching Bruce Almighty over and over again. that was kind of my history.
You know what I did watch quite a bit. I don't even know that I liked it. It was just that it was on a lot. It was Home Improvement.
Yeah, we were talking about Home
Improvement. Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah, I
love that show because, you know, it's a hometown show for me. You know, I'm from Detroit area.
That's right.
Totally forgot about that. Tim Allen's my guy. You got to support it. That's a good show.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's now God. Didn't we do that for a whole episode once?
I think so, yeah. It was not good.
Just kind of rolled through a whole episode, chucking or whatever that noise is. Roseanne. Hey, this is a little misleading. On when you search Roseanne TV programs / sitcom, you get Roseanne and it says 1988 to 2018. I don't think so. I don't think that's what happened. I don't think you're allowed to do that. That's funny.
Yeah, I watched that. That was my show too. You know, I think for some reason all those Midwestern sitcoms kind of hit more for me. You know, Home Improvement, Roseanne, Married with Children.
Yeah.
Those type of, because it was more, you know, like you watch something from New York, it's a totally different lifestyle than what I would see every day. So I definitely, Roseanne was my stuff. And I tried watching like one episode of the new one before she got kicked off.
Why did she get kicked off again? She said somebody looked like a monkey good. And then she said, I'm sorry, I was getting high. What was the deal?
She was on Ambien. She took an Ambien.
You remember the Ambien? Oh, man.
I took an Ambien and started turn into Stefan Molyneux overnight.
What a fall from grace. Do you remember that car? Like, she was talking about Ambien. That was a joke for a little while, was that people were on Ambien and they were tweeting like semi-racist
tweets. Yeah. No, definitely.
Maybe we found out how Stefan Molyneux took his giant fall. Maybe just an addict at this point. Just every night he's popping Ambien firing off his tweets.
Yeah, it could be that. It definitely, there could be something there. That's for sure. Maybe he's, maybe like Ball suggested to us the other day, Carr. Maybe he's drinking a lot of Mickey's. Maybe
that could be the case.
There's a lot of Mickey's in play.
Certainly possible.
Someone slipped him a Mickey.
Seinfeld.
Wasn't that? Yeah, it was a Seinfeld episode, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. See, Seinfeld's different because Seinfeld is like a, I don't know, at least on the East Coast. Seinfeld is like, they made language, you know, like there's like words that we use all the time that came from the show. Like it's totally.
Yeah, that was a great show. I don't care who you are, where you're from. You can't not think that's a great show.
I mean,
show.
That is what I watched with my dad was Seinfeld. Like that was my show that I watched with my dad in the 90s. Like all the other stuff was kind of secondary. Seinfeld like was the show.
Yeah, you don't ever want to do one of those unpopular opinion threads where you don't actually believe what you're saying. You're just saying it to annoy people.
Yeah.
The I think Seinfeld is overrated. That's the one, right? That's the one that's everyone's going to be like, actually, excuse me. that's not true. I feel like I have to defend that show. That show's so good.
What's interesting is going back, like I probably understood 20% of it when I was watching it with my dad. I just couldn't have because it's a lot. It's not just like adult humor in like a like raunchy way, but there's like pretty complex themes and like not like overly like crazy complex, but pretty.
It's a sophisticated humor.
It is. There's a level of sophistication that you just kind of need to have participated in life as an adult for a while to understand. So, like social settings and stuff like that. That would have been that were you know it, that would have been impossible for you to understand as a you know whatever I was I guess in the midnight you know 10-year-old when it went off the air.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about that show is the first episode I ever watched was the final episode live on TV.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I knew it was, because I knew it was like a big deal, because like I never, I was probably around like high school or just graduated around when it ended or something, somewhere around there. So I knew it was kind of a big deal because everyone's talking about it. Like, okay, I'll tune in for the last episode and watch it. And, you know, you didn't get, because that episode, it's all callback jokes. And even then, it was still pretty funny. And so I started slowly getting into it. And eventually, I bought all the box sets, all the DVDs, and Matt just went through it. And, oh, man, it's a beautiful show.
Very good show. Still holds up.
I guess that rounds out sitcoms, huh? I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Can't think of any other. I mean, I could like Fresh Prince, but I love the Fresh Prince. But
oh yeah, Fresh I grew Prince. Up and watched that.
That was my wheelhouse. Yeah, it was high school Prince. Years. I mean, it's perfect.
Oh man, that's good to hear. I'm glad I didn't know if Fresh Prince kind of made it out of the coasts. That's cool.
No, yeah.
Oh no, that was huge. Everyone watched Fresh Prince. Okay. I don't know anyone that didn't watch Fresh Prince. Oh,
perfect. I like that a lot. That's good. Do you ever watch King of Queens, Carr?
I have, and I don't dislike it, but I just, it's a kind of vanilla for me.
Okay. That's fair.
I always like Kevin James. I thought that was a pretty good show.
I like him.
What else we got here? You ever watch The Cosby Show? No, I never, ever, ever, ever watched The Cosby Show. That's totally one of those things that's like, ew, vanilla, gross.
Really? I watched a lot of The Cosby Show.
Oh yeah? Tell me what about it? Like kept you, well, you also are more open to like, you know, wholesome shows than like me or Mike seem to be here.
Yeah, I'm not the wholesome show guy.
To tell you the truth, man, I don't even know. And I don't know, like, I don't remember as a kid going out of my way to or to not watch much of anything. And so it may have just been that my parents were watching it, or maybe my parents wanted me to watch it because it was more wholesome, or, you know, it was just on and I remember watching it, but I don't remember. And part of it too may have been, wasn't it on like, Nick at Night or something like that.
See,
like,
that's where I get most of my experience with these shows was Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick at Night definitely ran that.
Yeah. So probably if it was on that, I was probably watching it. That would have been basically what I watched.
I think that's probably why I ended up watching the raunchy shows, because my family didn't watch a lot of TV together, except maybe The Simpsons, but I was kind of left on my own a lot. So I grew up watching like Married with Children and Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yeah.
South Park.
Oh man, yeah, I grew up watching that.
We could get into animation. That's ever since like taking Carr's recommendation to go and watch Futurama, holy moly, that show's incredible.
Probably one of the best recommendations Carr's ever made to anyone ever.
That and Bitcoin have been, he's really paid off.
Oh yeah, well,
keeping him around. He's really paid off. Boy Meets World. That's another. Okay.
Oh no.
Yeah, I didn't.
No. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know what show? You know what show I really loved? But I did. I want to go back and watch all of it. Is Malcolm in the Middle?
Oh my god!
Yeah, I watched that.
It's on Hulu.
Sure, I remember that one.
It's on Hulu.
Is it? Yeah. That show is so damn funny.
But see,
is it really? I watched that as a younger, you know, so I always didn't think that would be a translate too well to adulthood.
No,
it's like
man.
Zany.
It's funny.
It's a very zany
sitcom,
and I feel like Carr, it makes sense why you would like it. I get that.
Yeah.
See, now, for me, what Hulu did, they brought, I didn't realize this, but they have like all of the Adult Swim shows, which I didn't realize.
Oh, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. There's another good one.
Up there. What else do they have? They had C-Lab, which I love C-Lab. They had Harvey Birdman, which is an incredible show.
Harvey Birdman, You guys ever watched Duckman?
No.
That wasn't Adult Swim, but that was like on a Fox like two seasons a long time ago. It was just great. Actually, Jason Alexander was the voice of Duckman. It was just some ridiculous cartoon comedy.
Looking up the Adult Swim 2005 schedule.
Yes.
Because that would have been just
That's the one. That's
just like,
it's funny. We're like,
that's when I was watching Aqua Teen. That's Harvey Birdman.
Carr, we're 10 years apart, but we were watching the same thing on Adult Swim live.
Oh my god, yeah.
One of us had a problem. That means Tim and Eric, they have on Hulu now.
Oh yeah.
They got both of the Tim and Erics. They got the Eric Andre show on Hulu. Man, they got a lot of good stuff on Hulu. If you don't have Hulu, sell your soul.
Did they have a Metalopic? What was that show?
You gotta say it first.
I can't say it.
Metalocalypse, I think.
I never could say it, but I enjoyed that back in the day.
Yeah, man. The Boondocks, they have.
Boondocks.
They got one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. They got King of the Hill.
Yeah, King of the Hill's awesome. Yeah,
King of the Hill's incredible, dude. What an incredible! Every episode is both like a very emotional arc, but also incredibly funny. It's like I don't know very many animated shows that have achieved that. Until
man, that Mike Judge was a genius, man. He took genius. Beavis and Butthead and just turned that into an empire. I think he's a billionaire by now. Like he made like $1 billion off King of the Hill or something.
Probably, yeah, he probably.
And you know what happened was MTV. When Beavis and Butthead was at the height of popularity,
when he
signed him originally, he was a nobody, and he got like the worst deal ever. He was making no money off of it,
really,
and he was trying to negotiate for a better deal and make some actual money off the show because it's been on for years, merchandise everywhere, and they were playing hardball. So he just quit, and then went to Fox and made King of the Hill, and just freaking made crazy money with that, and then went on to making the movie, Office Space and.
Oh man, I forgot he made Office Space.
Yeah,
I forgot about that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike Judge is like maybe underrated.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
in the sense that like in that field, like everybody knows Matt Groening, and maybe a lot of people know David X. Cohen. I don't really know that many people who talk about Mike Judge. But if they
he's kind of a quiet guy. He's a background guy. He's not really out there, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Frisky Dingo was on there.
What is that's interesting. What is Frisky
Wait, I've never
Dingo?
Even heard of that.
That was Adult Swim back. It was 2006 to 2008, so senior year into college for me. That was
Dingo.
And then the other thing.
Oh, this
was hey, Mike. Have you ever watched Children's Hospital?
I don't think so.
It might be one of the funniest shows I've ever seen in my life. It is ridiculous, and it was on Adult Swim. I think it was actually maybe like when I was out of college. It was probably like 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, I vaguely remember some commercials for that show, but it was for me. It was all about Aqua Teen. That was my show.
Sure, yeah,
yeah. And what's the other one? Squidbillies. I think they have Squidbillies on there.
Yep.
Man, these Adult Swim is weird.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Adult
for sure.
Swim is really goddamn weird when you think about it. I guess, Carr, I guess you avoided all of the anime nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Never been a big anime guy.
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
I'm with
Carr and
that. I mean, there's just nothing there for me.
That's great. Because they ran
nothing.
They ran some, like, okay, so think about it this way. As far as I understand it, the quality of show that they ran on, like, Monday, Wednesday, the comedy nights, is the same level of quality of all the anime that they ran on the Tuesday, Thursday nights. Like, so if that gives you perspective on, like, how good Adult Swim, at least in 2005, like you say, Carr, how good that channel was. Wow. So good.
Yeah.
So good in all respects.
Crazy.
What the hell else was there? Yeah, I was watching Harvey Birdman earlier because it's all on Hulu now. That is a wild
show. You guys ever watch The Critic with John Lovitz doing the voice?
Oh, yeah. I never watched it, but I remember what you're talking about.
Two or three seasons. That was just genius, too. That was a spinoff from The Simpsons. Yeah. You know, that was awesome.
Oh, man.
Forgot about that.
There were some good shows that got canceled early.
Robot Chicken. You ever watch Robot Chicken?
Oh, yeah. Robot Chicken.
Yeah, that was good.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Robot Chicken is definitely...
It wasn't my favorite, but it was good. I liked it.
I'm surprised. I'm actually, Mike, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say... Like, oh, I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite for Robot Chicken, you know?
I don't know. It was all right.
It's very, like, polarizing.
Yeah, it is one of those shows, you're right. It's something where you're going to love it, you're going to hate it, but, you know.
I was watching it, and I'm dying because it's Ted Kennedy and Jenna Jameson are on a motorcycle riding through a mall killing people, and my girlfriend, and I'm laughing like a maniac, and my girlfriend is looking at me like I am a maniac. So it's very much, I've never seen a neutral position on that show. So yeah, that's a good
one.
Well,
to me, describing that is not outrageous to me. You know, it's okay.
It's
I get
not.
It.
And it's really funny when it's happening. what else, man? Oh, this.
You guys ever get into sketch comedy at all?
Yeah,
yeah, but it's like you mean on TV?
Yeah, like you know SNL back in the day or Mad TV, Chappelle Show.
No.
Dude, I mean, when I was coming of age to watch SNL was like a very much a mini golden era. Like there have been a few golden eras in SNL, but I would say like that mid to late 90s cast was really really great.
Who's
the Phil Hartman, Chris Farley, and, you know, Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was just so good.
Norm MacDonald.
Norm. The word Norm is probably one of my favorite comedians of all time.
Oh, yeah, me too.
We could update. He was made for that.
Yep.
When they got rid of him, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I never watched SNL. I unfortunately, which is crazy because like.
Oh man, yeah, it. Yeah. I was big into SNL. I remember petitioning my parents like when I was really young. That was like one of the first things I wanted to stay up for, and I wanted to watch live SNL that night. And like probably all the way, you know, from whenever I made that happen. I don't know whenever I secured that bag in seventh or eighth grade, all the way until I graduated. I was a fairly dedicated SNL watcher.
I never watched it live because
Really?
Comedy Central used to show reruns of them, so they would show reruns of all those good shows. But the best part is they would show 1 hour reruns, so they would take the 90 minute show, cut out the crappy sketches and put all the good ones in there.
Yeah, and I remember that.
You just get jam packed with all the good stuff in an hour, and it's beautiful. So yeah, because I watched that. Yeah, I was later on.
That actually sounds like a better way to watch it. That was one of the reasons why.
And especially nowadays, I mean, the show. Oh man, I tried watching a couple episodes. You know, my wife likes it. It's just I'm trying to explain to her why I can't get into it, and it's just because when you're used to eating steak all the time, and then someone gives you a hot dog.
Yeah,
right.
You know, it's just so when you grow up watching the good stuff, and then now you're watching this, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know.
You watch something.
And then you ever watch Mad TV back in the day?
I never did.
But I didn't like it as much as SNL.
You know, it was only good when Artie Lang was on it. I was always an Artie fan. He was unbelievable. So yeah, the first two seasons I think he was on.
That was a Howard Stern guy, are you?
Yeah, of course Howard Stern. I mean, I got Sirius XM or Sirius when it was just Sirius for him. When he switched over.
The nerve of you.
What? What do you mean the nerve?
I'm an Opie and Anthony guy, bud. All right.
What? How could you not? Who am I talking to?
Car is slinking away into the corner. I was watching Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I don't want. I have no experience with either.
I was listening to Coast to Coast.
I'm just beside myself. I mean, Howard Stern. He's the king. He's the godfather.
God, I'm gonna be sick here. You're
gonna be sick. Opie and Anthony. Come on, what do they do? They're like a cheap knockoff.
Oh. Take it easy.
You had Artie Lang on the Howard Stern in the heyday. It was so good.
Artie is the best, dude.
He's just so good.
Everybody says it. I can't believe we still have Artie with us, and I'm very thankful that we do.
Yeah.
So,
that just goes to show you how resilient human beings are.
Well, Artie.
If he's still alive.
Just Artie.
I mean,
really.
There's hope for the human race, no matter what happens, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, just in general, you look at guys like him that could just do everything to his body nonstop for, you know, 30 years, and he's still kicking.
What a hero.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. Oh, man. Yeah, Carr, you, for all you love radio, you never, like, did... mainstream radio, huh? You were doing the listening to what were you listening to on the radio?
First of all, I was obsessed with ham radio and shortwave. But then in terms of actual radio shows, like commercial radio shows, Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Really? Mike, help me out.
What?
Home Companion?
Oh man. This is something he's very. What is that? What is it?
These words you put them together. I'm not imagining.
Are you serious? Right, oh my god! Wow. It was.
I'm imagining Little House on the Prairie right now.
So please. Yeah. Oh my god, man. It was. I think it's one of those shows that it's a love or hate type deal. So like, it's very. It's like very something. So like, if you like it, you like it. If not, you don't. But it was a kind of a sketch comedy show that was filmed live. Or recorded live in, I think, Minnesota. But, like, it's done by... Have you heard of Garrison Keillor?
Nope.
Okay.
Is this a radio or TV thing?
This is radio.
So it's radio. It's distributed on NPR.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I know. I mean, for as much as I hate NPR and, like, you know, just their consolidation of radio and elimination of community radio, that show, regardless of the public radio part, was fantastic. And it was just, it would come on. It was every Sunday evening, I think, or maybe Sunday midday, but, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a sketch comedy show that would revisit certain, themes and news from certain towns that were all fake and made up for the show, and it was live, and so they would tell story. It was like storytelling, and there would be like live sound effects and like the different people on stage, you know, at the microphone. So it was like this, like, and it had a very Midwest, Mike, you might like this, it had a very Midwest vibe. Like it was supposed to be so like, for example, one of the commonly recurring sketches was they would visit the news from Lake Wobegon, and Lake Wobegon is some bumfuck like Minnesota town. And you know, that it was just this like over the top heartland, storytelling a la almost like Fargo. Like it wasn't dark though, but like that sort of thing where they were really, really leaning into the fact that it was this like just heartland show. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to describe, or maybe I'm just failing to. But yeah, it was like, it's still one of my favorite radio shows.
Oh no, I got you. That sounds pretty darn good. I probably would have liked that if I had found it.
I mean, it may still be going, to be honest with you. Hold on, let me check. I know I know Garrison Keillor got. I think he got Me Too'd or something like that.
Oh,
so
God. Maybe. Man.
But yeah, let me check it out. Let me check. I guess 2016.
Oh, he got Me Too'd. He did.
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
There you
I
go.
Check this out, then. I'm gonna check out.
But speaking
this.
Of, although I will admit, speaking of public access, you know, TV and radio, there's a one show I liked growing up, a sketch comedy called The Red Green Show that was on the PBS.
Oh yes, I remember
Red
that.
Green Show. Yeah.
Good.
That was a good show. That was a show. It was a shame it never was able to even make it to America on syndication because they're always talking about, you know, this and that, but. Yeah, just what this guy could do with duct tape, you would not believe.
Prairie Home Companion has a very similar vibe.
Well, when you start talking, that's what kind of got me thinking about it, because that type of comedy is sort of like, you know, backwoods, you know, just, it was awesome. Yeah, that was what the great show about Red Green is. It probably would have worked on radio because half of the show, they were talking about people that never showed on camera. They would just like get together and talk, like him and his nephew. And they would tell the story of what happened, and it'd be hilarious. And you can kind of imagine it yourself. And there's two guys just kind of basically standing around, you know?
Exactly.
Hmm.
So that was awesome. And then, yeah.
God, Garrison, or the Prairie Home Companion started in 1976, I think, or 74 or 76. I mean, it went for a long time.
Jesus. Those shows usually do. Radio shows seem to last. Huh.
They probably cost them nothing to produce, you know. And plus, they had us paying for it, hardworking taxpayers.
That's
you know?
The only reason why this show keeps going. It's very, very cheap, very cheap to produce.
That was actually my nickname in college.
Cheap. Will produce.
Cheap to produce.
Yeah. Oh man, that's. I gotta get more into radio. Yeah, I
never, dude, you should fire up an episode of Prairie Home. You may just not like it.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Hey, you got me out to coast, so.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, and I don't know how I overlooked that, but that was the other thing that I listened to.
Coast. I feel like that goes without saying.
Yeah.
What else we got, man? What else we got here? What else we got? Let's see,
man. See, I missed all this good radio stuff growing up because I grew up. I'm a sports guy, especially baseball. So, I grew up with sports talk and listening to Tigers games on the radio all the time. So it was basically Howard Stern in the morning and then just sports talk rest of the day, and that was all I would ever listen to.
Oh wow! See, I didn't listen to sports talk radio at all. Like I remember, I watched baseball. I watched newly minted Carolina Panthers. I watched the Charlotte Hornets until they broke my heart and left. And then I went to Canes games, but I don't even really remember watching the Hurricanes on TV, and at least until later, like high school.
Isn't Detroit like known for having really good sports talk radio shows?
I mean, I don't know if it's known for it, but it's damn good. I mean, I can vouch for that because, I mean, you got to imagine this got all four major, you know, sports teams in there. You have a bunch of like, you know, Michigan State College. You know, you got everything is going on. 20, you know, so no matter what time of year you're in, there's something to talk about. There's something going on. So there's never like a lull where you might have a town with like two major sports teams, and then that's about it. So, I mean, and they have really good guys there. They actually they brought a guy in who, grew up in New York, It has that real kind of New York, Howard Stern type of attitude. You know, he went to Michigan State and got a job. You know, he's one of the lead guys on the lead station, 97.1.
Who are you talking about?
I mean, it brings in talent from around, you know. So there's one thing I missed the most, I think, moving out of Detroit was the sports talk. It was just so good.
Yeah. I never got into sports talk. You know what I did? Not sports talk. Like, I mean, I guess that's sports talk radio, really. Like, First Take. First Take is, especially back in the day, First Take. I would always watch that. Did you ever watch old-fashioned First Take?
No, I never heard of First Take.
Oh, man. Really? Wow.
Yeah, what's First Take?
Carl, you ever heard of First Take?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man, I'm really surprised by that. First Take is that show with Stephen A. Smith and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And
yeah.
What was his name back in the day? It was friggin'... that douche. What's that douche's name? Skip Bayless. You remember this? Neither of you guys watched First Take, huh? Wow.
I never watched national sports news. It was always local stuff for
that
me.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I mean, I might have watched like SportsCenter, you know, way back in the day.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I guess if you
like Baseball Tonight.
Yeah. See, First Take is great because it was Stephen A. Smith just kind of shitting all over Skip Bayless for an hour, and Skip took it like a big bitch, and it was really fun to watch. It was really fun to watch.
Kind of like this show.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been on the website in a while, by the way.
In this situation.
How's the follow count going? How's that doing? I see there's been some ops run behind my back. I see. What else we got? What else is here? Man, there's much.
Are we going to talk any baseball today?
Hey, we could.
I'm up for baseball.
Somebody's gotta give me a reason to give a shit about the New York Mets again, but nobody would do that. So
I'm in the same situation. I mean, we're Tigers are a deep rebuild. We probably won't have a team for 3 or 4 years. It's worth caring about.
Yeah, we're not in a deep rebuild. We're kind of just in that.
You're just a perpetual suck build. You know,
Yep, that's right. That's right. I think we're 64-60, which is like the most. I don't even want to watch that. You know.
Well, the Mets are the team that they're just always kind of mediocre. There's never. Even when they make the playoffs, you know they're getting eliminated because you know they don't have the right guys and they never.
Get hurt.
I'd rather be hot or cold than just of always be mediocre.
Me too. I'd rather be a Knicks fan.
The Mets are only two out of the wild card right now.
No, I know that, but he just said, we already
who cares?
Seen this before. Yeah.
They get the wild card. They lose the one game playoff and the season's over. You know,
I've seen this before.
And Mike, your Detroit Tigers are only 34 games back out of the wild card.
That's it. I mean, if we win every game from now on, if Miguel Cabrera just can lose 30 pounds and get 10 years younger, we have a shot.
How's your stupid Washington Nationals doing?
We have a wild card spot right now.
Oh, great for you.
Very nice. Two-game lead on the next in line on the wild card. So, we're only five back in the division against the Braves.
It sure seems that way. Man, I hate the fucking Nationals with all my heart. What is this a baseball team that you just hate with all your heart? Is it the Yankees?
I don't hate the Yankees because the Tigers consistently beat them in the playoffs, so I'm cool with that.
I don't really know Tigers lore.
At this point, any team that we've lost to in the last 10 years in the playoffs, I hate. So the Cardinals, they killed us in the World Series in 06.
Does anybody other than Cardinals fans like the Cardinals? Is that really? Is there anybody other than Cardinals fans?
Well, they're supposedly one of those teams where they have one of the best fan bases, yada, yada, yada.
They do, but everyone else must hate them. Right?
Yeah, I hate the Cardinals. I also hate the Dodgers. And now that Vin Scully is not announcing anymore for them or doing the radio call, I there is no redeeming factor for the Dodgers.
I actually completely agree with you. I completely agree.
You want to know who I hate the most, though?
Who's that?
It's the Red Sox.
I kind of do, too.
I understand
This is more personal because if you look back at the history of the Tigers, again, this is totally personal, but 2013 was our year to win it all. We had Max Scherzer, Verlander, all these guys were just in the prime. Miguel Cabrera was fresh off the Triple Crown, and we were going to steamroll everybody. And then man, you guys remember when David Ortiz hit that grand slam and Torrey Hunter fell head over heels over the outfield barrier? It was an iconic picture of him, like, his legs up in the air, and the security guard was not catching him. He was cheering on the home run.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember that. Yeah, if you just search up Torrey Hunter, David Ortiz, it's the first one I remember that.
Ortiz is like, it was like a grand. I think with Ortiz, it was like a grand slam or something. Yep. But anyway, it was the game-winning home run. It was that picture was like, you know, the security guard, instead of trying to save Torrey Hunter, was just cheering on his home run. It was the funniest thing ever. But except, you know, a dagger in the heart.
Oh,
yep.
Because once that happened, our season was over, and that was it.
I kind of want to quickly go through all of the teams and just get a sound effect as to what we feel about them. All right, Orioles.
I actually like the Orioles. I
mean, oh, good for you.
I don't know. Any team named after a bird is kind of weak, you know?
shut it. Shut it. All right, we did the Sox.
Come on.
The Yankees are... Tampa Bay Rays.
You like them, you know? They're scrappy.
They're in division. They're usually scrap, like, which, so I usually should be rooting against them. But the thing is, they just haven't been good. They had a shot at being good recently, but they seem to have just thoroughly blown that. They're in last place in the NL.
No, dude,
it's one of those crazy teams.
Are they in
the AL? You know, what's crazy about them is they always stumble ass backwards into, like, having amazing players, but their management and is just so terrible.
So incompetent. So terrible. What about their...
That they get
rid
of
them. Carr, I think you're thinking about the Marlins.
Yeah, Marlins, same way, yeah.
I'm sorry. I was. I heard...
Tampa
Did you
Bay
say
Tampa?
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah, Tampa.
Well, it's something about Florida where, like they just get these amazing players out of nowhere.
Well, speaking of...
They just dump them.
Speaking of Tampa, like, what about this, like, move where they're going to be half and half in Montreal?
Oh, my God. How silly is that? Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a great way to soak another tax base for some money.
Yes, it is.
Really, professional sports is just one big freaking, tax soak fest.
You know what's funny? I was actually watching today. I was watching a documentary about the Washington Redskins kitchen team. And I was watching it and just watching how they would put thousands of chicken wings onto the grill, going, "Oh, that's all my money," you know. Not in a literal sense, but it's all the people of Washington's money. Just feeding these fucking these monster 7'9". It's like, oh God. I guess I like to watch them play, but still. all right. Oh,
but seriously, though, like, what a scam! What a good scam!
What
like,
a great scam!
Sports is.
It's your bread and circus, dude. It's great. It's a fantastic idea. Toronto Blue Jays. I'm gonna give that a hearty ugh.
I mean, again, you got another bird team, so this doesn't have that strength to it. That when your sports is about masculinity and strength, so when you're naming your team after a bird, I don't know.
they're kind of, for me, like that. I dislike the Yankees and I dislike the Red Sox, and I'm very meh on the Rays. So I always kind of look to the Orioles and Blue Jays to win out that AL East division. And also that recent the recent scuff up between Rugi and what is that guy's name? The slugger
Are you talking? That's not that recent, is it?
I guess several. Probably like 3 years
Jose
ago.
Jose Bautista, yeah, that's right.
Jose Bautista.
I mean, that was fun.
Bautista, he went from the Blue Jays to the Mets, and I had to deal with that fucking nonsense.
That's right. I didn't know he was still around. I thought he was like just.
I don't think he is. I don't think he actually got his contract got picked up. Maybe it did. I don't even know. Yeah. Also. Oh, here comes... All right, next team. Now we're in AL Central. The Chicago White Sox. I'll tell you one thing about the White Sox, other than the fact that I think more people like them for their logo than anything else, but they have the worst, maybe one of the worst names for a park. Guaranteed Rate Field. Isn't that depressing? Jesus.
Somebody was telling me, and it may have been you, Mike. I don't remember. I was talking to somebody about baseball, and they were like, the Chicago White Sox announcers, the radio callers, are some of the most ridiculous homers in all of baseball radio announcing, and they're also assholes. And I listened to one game just because of that, because I usually have MLB at bat, so I can just listen to games and stuff, you know, especially day games and whatnot while I'm working in. And I listened to one game at a day game, and I could not believe it. I was like, these guys are insufferable, insufferable.
Gross. Yeah, I used to, when I was like real young, I used to watch them on the TBS, you know.
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
No, WGN was, WGN had the Chicago teams on TV. Yeah. And I don't know how, I think it's still the same guys, but like Hawk Harrelson and someone else, or I
can't remember his name, but yeah.
I don't know. Was, but yeah, they're just like 100% homers. Like, and brutal. I like a little bit of homerish when I'm watching my Tigers, you know, I kind of like that. But this
a little bit of homerish, but couched in an overall appreciation of baseball.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's,
you know, that's what I want. I want Homer, yes, like excitement over your team, but don't be an asshole about the other team, and couch it all in your appreciation for baseball in general.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's just horrible. Yeah. It's really bad. Anything the Central, you know, I'm not going to like, because they're facing the Tigers 20 something times a year. And
right.
Yeah. The White Sox, I never could like get into them.
All right. Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing the Cleveland. I can understand why, Mike, but
yeah. I mean, just everything. I gotta be a hater.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun to see them do well, I guess. Detroit Tigers. Ever since Verlander left, I don't know. Like, I have not seen a Tigers game.
It's probably for the best. I don't watch them at all now. I had the radio package where I could listen to them, and I haven't listened to a game in like few months.
Uh-huh. Oh man,
it's bad.
I mean just in general AL, I just don't really watch all that much.
We'll get into the NL.
What's up?
Well, I'm an AL guy, you know, so I'm a DH guy. I want to see the 38-year-old fat guy hit, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to see him field.
Yeah,
I don't want to see the pitchers hit, so that's where I'm coming from. So this is my
all right.
You agree, Bird?
I agree. Yeah, get rid of the put the DH in. Get rid of the fucking.
Oh, nice. There we go.
It's
yeah. I know. Carr's not a DH guy.
No,
it's
I'm not.
Entertainment. It's entertainment.
It's, you know, just for me, the DH is like the division of labor. You know, it's beautiful in a certain way. You know, you can get a guy that's just good at hitting and let him hit. Yeah, just good at pitch and let him pitch.
You know? I like seeing one big fat guy who can rake it. You know.
Yes. Oh, like, thank you.
That is a plus for the DH. But here's my counter: is that I love watching, especially late in a series, like when the pitching staff is a little bit expended. I love seeing the strategy late in a game where they're trying to balance pitching, pitching matchups, and hitting. And that's like one of my favorite things. I love watching that strategy play out.
It's probably the best reason as to why they shouldn't both have a DH, just because then you get to have both.
Right.
You know, yeah.
I love to see when the Mets go over to an AL team and we get to use a DH. Like, I enjoy that. That's good enough for me. But I
see, you know, the strategy argument. Yeah, I get it. And yeah, there's some certain situations come up where it's like, okay, yeah, it's, you know, what's he going to do here? Is he going to pinch it for the pitcher? But for me, it's like, I want to see the best players play. You know, I don't want to see a great pitcher get pulled from
Mike,
the game.
You have way more respect than I do. I just want to see a fat guy blast the ball. You know,
I mean that too.
Like I said,
we got Miguel Cabrera under contract for 4 more years. So, I mean, we got to stick him somewhere. And unfortunately, he's not blasting the ball. So
I like
now
the idea that you could have a DH. I like that you have the idea that you could have a DH and a first baseman. You know, like you could have a actual good first baseman and
two
you could
fat
also
guys.
Have a DH.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? Two fat guys.
Because Prince Fielder, before he got hurt, I mean, that was one of my favorite guys to watch because he's just a big boy and he can blast a ball about 500 feet. And that is fantastic. Now, I don't really know whether or not he could play first, but in my universe, I imagine he wouldn't have to.
For a fat guy, he was pretty damn athletic, actually. He played a mean first base. He played with Tigers for a couple of years, you know?
I remember that.
Although the best memory I have of Prince Fielder was he was running to the stands to catch a foul ball. I forgot if he caught the ball or not, but he grabbed a nacho out of somebody's nacho thing and ate it.
I do remember
like
that.
It's just no big deal.
Yep. Which it's not. You're going to be like, go ahead, eat up.
He was kind of known for his like his antics. Crowd interaction antics.
Yeah, he was good, man. Yeah, he was fun to watch.
A team I have almost no opinion about. The Twins, the Minnesota Twins.
I like the Twins.
Yeah. Do you?
I don't know. I always hated them. They always had guys that killed the Tigers. Like Jim Thome was just always like hitting three home runs a game against us, and just it was always a fight playing them. I don't know something about them when you're facing them throughout the years. It was never an easy win.
That's AL Central.
I may have never seen a Twins game in my whole life. May have never seen one, and I've had season passes for the Mets, and I've just maybe never seen them play.
Well, I'm not sure the Mets, do they ever play the Twins ever?
Probably every 4 years.
Once a decade.
Yeah.
So probably. Why would you watch them, you know?
I don't know.
I never watch a non-Tigers game. Just, you know, I don't have anything invested in it.
Here we go. Now we're getting somewhere. Because this is probably the most exciting division, I would say. AL West. My favorite AL team, the Houston Astros. Big fan of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I like
Astros.
The Astros, yeah.
Yeah, big fan of them.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yep,
we're all in agreement. I think everybody likes the Astros. It's just a good team.
Well, you know, what's good about them is like, you know how I said about the Florida teams always get these great players and they lose them?
Yeah.
The Astros get these great players and keep them, and yes. they just yes. build dynasties around
yes,
them. Like
they
had Bagwell and Biggio back in the day.
Yes.
They got a whole team now of guys, Bregman, and they got this new guy, Alvarado. I mean, they always are getting these guys, and they're amazing, and they keep them, and they're just like, they're always building up great teams.
Yeah, it's just a great team. And they've always had really cool uniforms, if you like that aspect of the game, which I always did. They have some of the coolest uniforms,
absolutely.
Dude.
Their throwback unis are so sweet.
The white 70s. Uniform with the sunlit horizon, that's one of the coolest uniforms, dude. One of the coolest. The Angels. Shit team. They have had a stranglehold on the best player in baseball for too long.
Yeah.
Well, his name sounds like mine, so I can't hate him too much.
Yeah. That's fair enough. The Athletics.
I like the A's. I've always been a fan.
Yeah, yeah. I guess. It's kind of a team it's another one of those teams. Like, this is where I start to go, yeah, I don't think I've ever even watched a game of the Athletics. I just have a couple of baseball cards with players from the Athletics on them. That's really all I have.
Oh man, baseball cards. Are they still around?
Oh yeah. And they're cheap now,
the old ones, yeah. I collected those when I was a kid, man.
Yeah.
I've got a box full still.
Ooh, the Marys. The Seattle Marys. I don't know.
The Marys.
I don't really know how I feel about the Marys.
Growing up watching Ken Griffey.
I'm sure.
So like that was like super. I was, and also 1 year I was in Little League. Our team was the Mariners. So for whatever reason, I was like, oh,
you're just imprinted cool. on you now.
Yeah, cool. yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, Griffey and Frank Thomas were the two guys.
The Big Hurt.
Big Hurt, man. They were the guys when I was growing up. And then we had Randy Johnson was like the pitcher.
That's right.
It just was unbelievable that no one could touch.
Yes. Yeah. Randy Johnson was also just a crazy person, which was great.
Johnson's my favorite pitcher just ever to watch.
Oh, really?
I just, again, you know what it is? Very obsessed with power. Whether it be like a guy who can just hit it.
You like big, powerful men.
Dude. Yeah. These big, beefy boys. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, look, see, you're 6'7". And you can throw a ball at 117
like
miles an hour.
Man. I mean, it's
tremendous. That's an incredible performance, you know.
But no, I'm with you, Bert. Though I like to see the guy. I like the overpowering pitch. Like Verlander, he was my guy. You know, you like seeing Miguel Cabrera and Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder. Right.
I
like seeing these guys just clobber the ball or just throw the ball, but no one can hit it. You know, you can tell them it's coming. You can tell them where it's going to. You still can't hit it. You know, it's just. Yeah, you can appreciate that.
Right. No, it's just a lot of fun. I'm mostly in it for the freak shows and the fun stuff, you know. Because you could like a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who's just like a legend, like, you know.
He's just like those kind of good. I'm not a fan of vanilla type of things, you know. It's just like whatever.
Yeah, Clayton,
you can appreciate that he's good.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw could do some amazing things with a curveball, but it's like he can't really whip it, you know. And I prefer someone who can whip.
It's almost like trickery, you know, like you're tricking the guy into striking out. Where you know, it's like a
which that's what knuckleballers
when you throw a fastball by someone, it's like, hey, here it is, give it your best shot. You know,
right. Yeah, there's nothing better.
You can appreciate
than that.
The upfrontness of a good fastball.
Right, there's nothing better. I need a fastball I need a
curveballs are more feminine.
Yeah. Oh, you're just, gonna get some, you're just, really you know, gonna get people mad at you today.
Little dainty ball, you throw it over there and it moves a little bit and
oh my god, man. My god. Yeah, I'd need a guy who could throw a fastball, a changeup, and I need a knuckleballer. Those are the only things that I need a pitcher to do, and I'm happy. That's it.
Yeah, you can appreciate the sideshow of a knuckleball.
Oh yeah.
Now and then, yeah.
You have to.
Oh man, I love the knucklers, man.
Oh, they're the best.
Tim Wakefield and who was the other guy?
R.A. Dickey, is that what was his name?
Yeah, Dickey.
Tigers had a guy called Steve Sparks for a couple years that was could knuckle it in there.
Okay. Yeah, I remember I would go out of my way to watch Wakefield games and Dickey games. Like I would watch. He was on the Mets for a while.
Yeah, right? he was a Met for a while. It was a lot of fun watching him. Oh well, now we're in the NL. So Mike, if you're, I'm
checking out now.
Yeah, I was gonna. Okay. Here's the first team. I see this team in my sleep in my nightmares. The Braves. That's mostly just a Mets thing. They tortured us for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got into them. I watched them as a kid because they were on TV, but I just
they got a couple cool players now. They got a couple cool young guys now.
Yep.
You know, they had Maddox back in the day, but you know, even then they had a lot of those like milk toast type of guys like Maddox and Blavin and David Justice that were like
sure
they were very good, but they weren't you know right. entertaining. I would say
Maddox is my favorite pitcher of all time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I liked he was a little bit neurotic and he could the ball placement was incredible.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, he was more of the I can imagine for you being the more fan of strategy and more fan of you know the pitching changes and the no DH. Yeah, Maddox is kind of he's like the perfect NL pitcher, you know.
Oh it's yeah, like man, he's amazing and he was also a great fielder. He threw about a 28 mile an hour fastball. Just
yeah, right.
Wild.
Hmm. What else we got here? Oh. It's the Marlins. So you were talking about the Marlins before, weren't you?
Yeah, I think I was just thinking about just another Florida.
Boo.
When did they change from the Florida Marlins to the Miami Marlins?
That's 5-6 years ago now I'm thinking about it. That might have been longer ago. I don't know.
Started in 93. They turned it to the Miami Marlins in 2012.
Yeah.
New York Mets. Yay. You know, you got to appreciate about the Mets something that you guys probably aren't able to appreciate unless they nationalize the games. It has to have one of the best broadcasting crews in the entire sport. It has to. Everybody, Gary Cohen, Ron Darling, and Keith Hernandez are like incredible when they play off one another. Just incredible. All really lovable guys. A lot of fun. And that's probably the best thing about the Mets is them. Because otherwise, I don't think anybody would watch them.
I love both the TV and radio broadcasters for the Nationals, and whenever they play the Mets, it's like kind of a toss-up. I almost want to listen to the Mets sometimes, although like I'm very beholden to the Nationals.
No, I think that's hard to make an argument against. Is they just have a really good crew, and then not much else.
I tell you what, a good crew can make a game. You know, they really can.
Yeah,
because the Tigers now they lost their TV crew after last season. I don't know if you guys want to hear about this, but there's a dust up.
Hmm.
Between the two, the play-by-play guy and the color guy, so they got rid of them both, and then now they just have two. It's just horrible.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
But yeah, they apparently the two guys in the booth like 15 years, and they were great. You know, Mario Mpemba, Rod Allen, and they were just amazing. But there was always rumors behind the scenes. You always hear about they hate each other and they never get along.
Yeah.
But on the game, they're both really good. You never could tell.
Mm.
Apparently, after one of these games. One of the guys was sitting in the chair and the other chair was kind of shitty. And the one guy has a bad back and he wanted the good chair.
Sure.
And it just exploded. And like 15 years of pent up just whatever was going on. And like, I guess the one guy, Rod Allen, put the other guy in a chokehold for a second or something. God. Yeah. My I mean, it wasn't like a big time fight, but it was enough of a fight where you can't ignore it, where they had to get rid of them both and they never.
Sure.
But I mean, just. Over a chair. So now we have this is the worst broadcasting crew a lot to go with the worst team and it's just
right.
It sucks. Right.
The old Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia made them kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that letter to Chase Utley.
Yep. Oh my God. The letter to Chase Utley is so fucking
legendary.
My roommates were all from Pennsylvania in college, and I was in college during their World Series tour. So I was rooting for them big time, and so I have good memories. Even though I should hate them in division, I don't actually harbor much in a lot of Philly sports. I should hate because the Eagles are in are at least NFC and have clashed with the Panthers quite a bit. Phillies again in division, but a lot of the times I'm just more in awe of like the fans' relationship with the teams. I'm interested in watching them, like especially with this with Bryce Harper going there, which for a number of reasons, Jesus. I think is wild. I mean, particularly wild. Because of the length of the contract and the lack of the DH on the NL side.
Yep.
But I mean, from the get go, I was like, this is going to be interesting to watch because Harper is a super slumpy guy and you're going to go sign this huge contract with a total hothead of a player who's prone to slumps in a city that does not tolerate slumps from their players.
Although I think he probably just won a couple points with the Phillies fans for like what he did recently. Did you see that?
What's that?
I think he won the game off a home run. Like, which you'll always always get the Philly fans going, you know?
Sure, sure.
You know, Bird, do you remember the 90s Phillies at all?
Not even a little.
With John Kruk and Mitch Williams and guys like that?
Not even a little.
You would love these guys. Yeah, they were more of the quirky guys. Like John Kruk was a big fat guy who could hit.
Oh, nice.
And you know, Mitch Williams was this like reliever. His nickname was Wild Thing.
Okay.
He was the closer, and he was just like erratic and crazy. And he was the guy that gave up the home run to Joe Carter in 93 World Series.
Oh my God.
And that was like the where his career went from like one of the best relievers in baseball to 2 years later, he was out of the game. You know?
Oh my God. Crazy. Yeah. Philly will do that to you.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, that was one of the few walk-off home run World Series wins, in decades.
Dear Chase.
But yeah. They had a really good eccentric team in the 90s. So I always have good memories of the Phillies, and Curt Schilling was always real good too. I liked him a lot back in the day.
Right. No.
Well, he extended into their World Series in appearances in the mid aughts or late aughts.
Hmm. Yeah, he was around forever, wasn't he? Was he even around in the early 90s though? I don't remember. He might have been the 93 team, like a rookie or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. He was around forever though. That guy could pitch.
All right. Next up, the Nats, the old Washington Nationals.
Any team in DC, you can suck it.
Yeah. I hate them, dude. I really hate them because they're always better than the Mets. They're always happen to be better than the Mets. Hate them. Chuck them out.
Nah, they're
fine. All right, a team everybody loves. Didn't love them when they were doing well. I don't love them now. The Cubs. Don't love them at all. Have no love.
No, I don't like the Cubs.
Nope, didn't like them.
I was happy to hear they won the World Series. It's one of those nice things for baseball. You can appreciate that.
Yeah, I guess it sure seems that way, doesn't it?
I mean, it makes for a good storyline if they never win the World Series, though, because you know you get that.
Yeah, it's great.
You can always rub it in their face, But
yeah, it's great when people don't win. It's fantastic. The Reds, ugh, no Reds.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have like a real like firm positive or negative. I mean, I'm
just making
kind noises. I'm kind of a big Pete Rose fan.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Pete Rose.
So that era, like the Big Red Machine and all that, is pretty cool. Even though I wasn't around for it, but there's a lot of players that are on the Reds that I end up liking a lot. So
I heard you were a big Marge Schott fan too.
Who is that?
Marge Schott. Do you remember her?
No.
Oh man, she, this old ass lady, was the owner of the Reds, I think, in the 90s. And,
oh man,
and she was one of those ladies that was always out, and she was like always caught saying this racist shit or stupid stuff.
Really?
Oh my god, eventually they had to push her out as the owners because she would just say this horrible, stupid things. I mean,
oh my god, I just pulled up her Wikipedia, and like one of the one of the biggest sections, the biggest section on this page is controversies, and it's the subheadings are racism, other incidents, and sanctions and forced retirement.
Oh my god.
So yeah.
Wait a minute. She was banned from managing the team by MLB from 1996 through 1998.
This is a clip from controversies subheading racism. Levy, I guess this guy is like Levy is the marketing director. Levy, who is Jewish, alleged that Schott kept a Nazi swastika armband at her home and claims he overheard her say, "Sneaky goddamn Jews are all alike."
Margaret, what is your name? Marge? Oh god, yeah, Margaret.
Oh my god. Dude,
I was just saying, Carl, listen to this one. She was banned from managing the team by the MLB from 1996 through 1998 due to statements in support of German domestic policies of Nazi party leader Adolf Hitler.
Oh my lord.
I forgot it was all I forgot I went that deep.
What the shit?
I remember she made a crack about Barry Larkin or something. He's like a black dude, you know, playing one of the best players. And she made some crack about him or something.
This is the first sentence on here. On November 13th, 1992, Charles Cal Levy, same guy, former marketing director for the Reds, stated in a deposition for Tim Sabo.
Oh, be careful. Be careful here.
Yeah, I know.
Be careful.
I'm going to be very careful.
This.
A former employee who was suing the team that he'd heard Schott refer to then Reds outfielders Eric Davis and Dave Parker as $1 million N-words.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna follow that link. I need to figure out what. That's insane. That's worse than the freaking Clippers guy by a lot.
This might even be more insane.
Okay.
On May 5th, 1996, Schott aroused ire when she made statements favorable of Adolf Hitler. saying he, quote, was good in the beginning but went too far.
He went too far.
No, now read the next sentence, Carr.
Later in the month, Schott was quoted in Sports Illustrated as speaking in a, quote, cartoonish Japanese accent. Oh my god. While describing her meeting with the Prime Minister of Japan. Further, she said she did not like Asian American kids, quote, outdoing our kids in high school.
God.
Holy shit. How did I not know about this lady? This is wild.
She was just, oh man, that's my red memory.
Oh my god. I love how after section 3 controversies, section 4 philanthropy.
Oh my lord.
Jesus. Marge.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Wait a minute. What does it say about the New York Mets? Oh god. Okay, nothing. Phew. Okay, good.
But went too far.
Oh, man. I don't know how. All right, we got to finish
up until 41. He was all right, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's wild. Like,
it's wild. It's absolutely wild.
She, thank God, like, for her sake, thank God that she was, that this, you know, her heyday came in the 80s and 90s literally 10 years later.
Oh my god.
Because she was around for years. Jesus. And every year or two, I remember something would come out or something. It was just nuts.
It looks like she wasn't real shy about it either.
No, not at all. She was just always out, and she would always talk to the media, and like she was the one that was just constantly be, you know, the face of the franchise.
Oh my god. There is a sentence here and I am not going to read it because it is so insane. Bird, are you looking at this? This is under subheading racism, the second to last paragraph.
Oh my god.
I don't even think I can read that.
During the same season, a former Oakland Athletics executive assistant, Sharon Jones, is quoted in the New York Times as having overheard Schott say, "I would never hire another blank. I'd rather have a trained monkey working for me than a blank." What a piece of human shit.
What a gigantic piece of human shit.
Holy shit.
Wow. She just apparently was just a real dick.
Okay, listeners, because we got enough listeners that somebody
she's a
will
bad
know.
Lady.
We got enough listeners here. Somebody's going to know. Who's the other? Sterling is the other sort of. Sterling had a couple incidents. Did he have a couple incidents or just one? Must have had a couple.
I think it was just the one where his lady on friend, wink wink, came out with something that he said about he didn't want her hanging out with Magic Johnson or something.
So here's how,
because it would look bad to him.
Here's the question: all of the four major sports. Nationally, I mean, I guess you could include the teams that are affiliated with the national team that are not in the U.S. It's fine. All the four major sports. Is there anybody who's, now that you've heard some quotes from good old Marge Schott, is there anybody who's worse?
Because oh my God, I can't imagine. I mean,
can't
that, like,
imagine.
I mean, behind the scenes probably, but she was just public about it. She
well, let's
care.
See. Let's see. Let the listeners know. Send an email in. Let us know. We like to learn here.
Yeah,
we'll
holy shit. I mean, she was making these sorts of statements in the 90s, and it looks like she was just a whirlwind of just
in the 90s.
Just racism. I mean, in oh, every yeah. direction.
100%. Yeah, this is a woman born in 1928, so fully conscious during the time of World War II. All right, so we have support for Nazi domestic policy, hatred and racism, and calling African Americans monkeys,
yeah.
saying Jews are untrustworthy, and other
and the Japanese,
and saying the Japanese are too smart. Basically, is kind of what she said. Is there anybody worse? Let us know, because that would be wow. someone who we could probably deep dive into their psyche too. Anyway, we got to keep going. Milwaukee Brewers.
Hey, good name for a team.
Sure.
Good name. Yeah, they always have one guy on the Brewers who's doing something.
Yeah. You
know? They do. Yeah. And they have the mascot that goes down the slide into the big vat of beer when you hit a home yeah. run. So that's pretty right. cool.
The Pirates? Do we like the Pirates?
I mean, another good name for a sports team, you know.
Yeah, they tend to have like some fun players on
ugliest,
there, and I don't really have anything
against them. Maybe the
ugliest
uniforms. Yeah. Of all time, perhaps.
Pittsburgh tends to do that a
ugly
lot.
Colors, really ugly, stupid. Like, I don't know why they do the old fashioned hat.
Yeah, black and gold. Nobody listening to this likes those colors.
No. let's be honest. First of all, it's like gray and gold. So let's be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah.
And it's not gold. It's like mustard yellow. You know?
Yeah, it's more.
It's kind of,
well, you know,
brutal.
Pittsburgh's more of a working class town. It's not really a fashion.
I
town,
actually,
you know?
I guess. Have I you? Mean, has anybody? Fine. Have y'all been to Pittsburgh?
I've never been, but
yeah,
been,
no. yeah,
I went.
Been.
I went for a Tech Pitt game like in 2011 or 12, and I thought I was gonna hate it. It actually might have been before that. I thought I was gonna hate it. I thought the fans were gonna be assholes. I thought like the whole thing, dude. It was so fun. I love
yeah,
that city,
dude. Pittsburgh is an awesome city. It's an awesome
yeah.
city.
Oh,
yeah,
I had
heard nothing
fans
about
were
good
amazing.
Things about Pittsburgh. Yeah.
We were drinking with them, like, and you know, the bar scene was super fun. We went to like this piano bar. Holy moly, I got really, really drunk that night.
Well, there you go. Did you happen to make any comments in a Marge Schott sort of
area? No, I hope not. I don't think so.
The Cardinals, I think we talked about them. Ugh, yuck.
Nah.
Yuck. Boo. The Diamondbacks, yuck. Boo.
Nah, yeah.
Car, you like the Diamondbacks?
Completely indifferent. Except, I mean, they had Randy Johnson for a while, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm. The Rockies? Big fan of the Rockies.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Rockies.
I've been to probably 40 Rockies games, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, Rockies, great colors, great. I mean, the park is incredible.
Great atmosphere. Great bar scene right great around city. The park. Super walkable from downtown. Yeah, you gotta love it. Rockies games are so fun. Plus, when you go, you get to see 9 million home runs.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Yes, you do. I was gonna say, like, the coolest thing about seeing a Rockies game, I can imagine, is you're. Hey, by the way, you're in Denver, which is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool.
I used to live like 5 blocks from the stadium.
Oh,
and
really?
I would go to,
oh, nice.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I would go to like basic like almost every home game. It felt like, because you can go you can get tickets really cheap. You can go scalp them, especially if you wait for the first pitch.
Yeah,
and you can go get a ticket for $5. No problem, and hop in there, and yeah, it's super fun. Super fun park.
Oh, that's cool. That's yeah. I would love to go there and see a Rockies game, dude. The Coors Field sounds
yeah.
Awesome.
They weren't very good when I was there, but it was still fun to go.
The Dodgies. We talked about the Dodgers.
Hate them.
Right? Yeah.
Hate the Dodgers.
Hate them. The Padres. I have no opinion.
I like the Padres.
I don't
yeah,
have
I
a
never,
strong
yeah.
opinion one way or the other.
I think, you know, growing up, you had Tony Gwynn, which is raking. He was always really good. He's a good dude. I mean, always could hit.
Yep.
So I always kind of like, you know, associating with them, some type of players where, hey, it's a good team.
Yeah, yep. It is. It's a cool team. And then we got the last team of all. Bum-ba-da-bum. The Giants. Ugh. They're fine.
Yeah, I don't like the Giants, except that they have players that I like from time to time. I really like Hunter Pence.
Bumgarner's awesome to watch. I mean, at least the modern Giants. And they, I mean, they, you know, they had the Giants, well, I guess you can't call it a curse, but whatever, you know, they had the thing where they were going every even year, they were winning one. That's cool, right? As far as recent Giants stuff, I guess that's cool.
Yeah, except one of them wins was against the Tigers. Bumgarner was just mowed us down. It's like,
I mean, that guy is pretty awesome. You got to
admit, yeah, he's pretty good.
That's a lot of fun to watch. Well, there you go. That's every Major League Baseball affiliated professional baseball team. And our noises about them.
All right, Triple A now, so the Toledo Mud Hens. Run through everything.
Oh man, and then we'll do.
Well, I used to go to a bunch of minor league games because the Durham Bulls were pretty close to where I was right next to my house.
Minor league games are where it's at. That's where it's at, man. You can get so you have.
I've never been to a minor league game before, so and you know, I lived in Fort Wayne for like a couple years, and now I'm Indy near another minor league team, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem the same to me. You know, I grew up always going Tigers games.
So well, as long as it's high A, as long as it's Triple A, you get to see everybody on rehab starts. You get to see all of your like favorite players.
If it
happens
cool.
to be your feeder team, plus you get to drink like dollar beers. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, you take the kids. Kids love it. It's a lot of fun, dude. It's a lot of fun. Well, that's it. And beyond that, again, friendsagainstgovernment@gmail.com. Find out who's worse than Marge Schott. You'll win.
All right, so when are we starting the show, guys?
Yeah, right. That's true. I didn't actually tell anybody we were recording. We just were recording. So
I know the routine. One of my friends listens to your show and they said it was pretty good. So
oh, nice.
I kind of knew how it would go.
Nice. Perfect.
Awesome.
Perfect.
are we shutting this thing down?
Free market success store. Oh wait, wrong.
Yeah, free market.
Yeah.
You know what's gonna happen, right? Raul is gonna be like, "Oh, another one of our sloppy." Ugh.
Yeah.
Do we have any announcements? Anything coming up?
I don't think so. Oh, by the way, I think this is a bonus episode. So if it is,
oh yeah,
shout out.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to the bonus.
Shout out bonus content. All right, well, Mike, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll have to do it again sometime. And until next week or next bonus episode, keep two hands on the wheel.